friends, and welcome to Intuitive Living. This is Reverend Therese Inzerello, and I am delighted to be with you this evening, so thank you for joining us. I'd like to begin this evening with one of my favorite quotes from Paramahansa Yogananda. He says, "The temple of God is within your soul. Enter into this quietness and sit there in meditation with the light of intuition burning on the altar. There is no restlessness, no searching or striving there. Come into the silence of solitude." And I love that. I love that because it reminds me how important it is to carve out that little time in your life to create that sacred time with the divine. And I know you hear me talking about that all the time on the show, but it's so very, very important to create that sacred time in your life. So whatever brings you into that place of bliss, that place of joy, that place of union with the divine, I really, really invite you to create time in your life to do that if you're not already doing so. So if going into nature and climbing a mountain or watching a beautiful sunset helps you to connect with that, then I invite you to do that. If it's just sitting and listening to beautiful music, then I invite you to do that. Or just sitting in that silent, beautiful energy of the universe, and I invite you to do that. So create time in your life to just commune with the divine, because then that's when you really hear that voice of intuition speaking to you. I like to call it the whisperings of spirit. And that is what helps you learn to live intuitively, because when you follow that innate inner wisdom of the universe, that is what brings you into joy and into bliss and into a place where you are really living your abundant and your best self. And that's what I try to do each week, is to bring you spiritual, holistic, and inspirational guidance and information to help you live an empowered, enlightened life. So we have plenty of tools and conversation and things that we like to share here on the show to help you with that. There is a myriad of archives on the website for you to listen to. And if you click on the little radio button on our website, those are shows from 2008. And if you click on the radio archive button, there are 3 years worth of shows there for you as well. And each month, the first Wednesday of each month, we post a new Prima Rupa Kirtan, which is devotional chanting and meditation to help you in your meditation practice. And if you haven't experienced Kirtan, then I really invite you to do that. I mean, I love it. It's that wonderful sacred chant music, and it helps me just slip into that place where I commune with the divine. And then on the third Wednesday of each month, I'm going to be posting an interfaith service. It's a non-denominational interfaith inspirational service, and I hope you'll join me for music, meditation, healing time, and an inspirational message, and that is sent to you with love. And we would love to hear from you. Please email me. I love getting messages from the listeners around the world. I've gotten a message recently from a lady in Poland and someone in Sweden, and I was talking to someone the other day who said that one of their relatives was surfing the web, and they came upon our show and heard their nephew on our show, and they didn't know about that. So it's always just great fun. So write to me at intuitiveliving@quest, that's QWEST.net, and I'd love to hear from you. And tonight I am just very, very excited because my guest tonight is one of my favorite people in the whole world. She has been one of my spiritual mentors. She is an angel channel, a psychic medium, an author, a speaker, and she's just a wonderful, wonderful lady. And I'm just so excited to have as my guest today on Intuitive Living, Anne Elbers. So welcome, Anne.
Hi, Therese. Thanks. It's always fun to be on your show. I think sometimes we forget we're on the radio and just talk.
Well, and that's always, I think, the most fun.
It is.
The most fun. So thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be here today. And you help so many, many people with the work that you do. And I know I personally am just so grateful to you. You've helped me in so many ways.
Aww.
And as I've said on the show before, you really, truly are the most accurate and pure of a channel that I have ever met. So thank you for sharing that gift with me and sharing that gift with the world.
Wow. Well, thank you. And, you know, you do so much good in the world, too. So I guess we inspire each other.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And we have so many things we can chat about today. I want to let the listeners know about some of the books and things that you've done right off the bat. I'm going to give them your website. It's www.visionsofheaven.com. And you just have a beautiful, beautiful website. There's all kinds of fun features on there and everything. So I just invite people to check that out. And I know you said that you had written a book 11 years ago, but you are just now releasing it called Whispers of the Spirit. So tell us about that.
That is a story. It's an autobiographical account of how I went from being an electrical engineer to being an angel communicator. And I waited so long to release it because it's pretty personal. I mean, if you're going to start listening to God, your life is going to change. You're going to go through dark and light. But the angel said, Anne, go ahead and put it out there because people will then understand how they can recognize the voice of God in their own life, too. And the clearing out that they have to do, as you mentioned, the time and silence, etc. And so I go into how Spirit talked to me through dreams and symbols, signs in nature, finally learning to dialogue with angels, and so on and so forth. And people have written back and said it helps validate their journey and it helps them understand a bit more on how the concepts that they already know actually work in someone's life.
And that is fabulous because, you know, actually that is, I think, what helps people the most is when they hear stories from other people who have gone through something similar, and it helps them know that they're not crazy.
Exactly, because that's the number one thing you start feeling when you start talking to unseen entities. You know, one minute you're excited, and the next minute you want to lock yourself in the loony bin.
Yeah.
And you go back and forth when you're learning. You don't quite know if you're sane or if it's real. And, you know, now I know beyond a shadow of a doubt it's real. But I know when you're starting out, those questions can arise. And so it's just my hope that the book can help validate people a bit more.
That's wonderful. Because I know that was one of the primary lessons and probably one of the hardest lessons when you're really learning how to use your intuition is learning how to trust it.
Absolutely. And, you know, this book does go through, I went through a lot of ups and downs and a lot of clearing out in order to be able to really trust what I was hearing. And it's also a bit of a story about how God can take over your life if you let him.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't, for example, have a clue what I wanted to do. I just knew I wasn't passionate about engineering, and I knew that there must be something more out there than where I could still, you know, wake up happy and go to bed grateful and earn a decent living, but I didn't have a clue.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit of a journey there in terms of how God reveals himself in a person's life, and that's going to be different for everyone, but there are elements in common.
Mm-hmm. And that's wonderful advice to share with people. Your other book, Love is the River, is really about your process of surrendering and letting go, isn't it?
Yes, and it you know, in a sense, the journey that started with Whispers is one that I feel like finally I understand it, and I was able to write Love is the River about how you can live your life moment by moment, surrendering to God's grace in your life, and end up with magic and miracles that you never would have expected if you planned it all out yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I really live my life that way now. I live my life by heart. I've been, you know, invited to speak at conferences with prominent authors and been included in documentaries, etc. And I never had a marketing plan. I never sought those things out. I just told God to do whatever he wanted with my life and surrendered.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to teach people how to do that now because it's a very joyful way to live.
And that's hard for people, though, because the fear gets in the way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It takes a lot of unlearning to get to that point, but it is possible, and I think it's worth striving for because the more we get rid of fear, the more free we are to let God really play with our lives in the positive sense.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, fear kind of jams up the flow. It, you know, fear is like, you know, say you fall in a river and fear you're holding onto the branches, and yet this thing wants to take you to the most beautiful place in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so the journey of getting rid of fear takes time, and, you know, I'd have to be honest, I'm still working on it in areas of my own life.
Well, I think we all are. We still have something to perfect if we're here on the planet, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and then I'm just going to mention your first book, too, because it was so helpful to me, and I know other members of my family really enjoyed it. It's called Bridging the Gap Between Christianity and Mysticism. And that was so helpful because a lot of people that were brought up in traditional religious backgrounds but have had these mystical experiences, you know, it felt like a big huge leap, but you really kind of showed how it's one and the same, or how you can take that step from one to the other.
Yeah, and you know, whenever I learn something myself and I struggle and grapple with it and really work with the angels to come to an understanding, I like to try to share that with others in some capacity so they don't have to work so hard.
Well, and that's what a spiritual teacher is all about, right?
Yeah, you kind of walk the path and go, oh, that's what happened. And let me explain it to my people a lot easier.
Yeah. And
that's
if
how we help each other evolve.
If we can heed that advice so that we don't have to totally reinvent the wheel with our lives, that's wonderful.
Yeah, I know I've relied on many authors and speakers to show the way for me. And, of course, you never really learn something until you apply it to your own life and try it out.
And then sometimes even when you think you've got it, it comes back around and kicks you
right.
in the butt again, right?
Deeper. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
There's always those layers of the onion. But I know, you know, when you're doing your spiritual guidance work, and I know that, you know, I've heard this so much, it's like there are certain topics that come up all the time, mm-hmm. all the time, relationships and love. And the other one is money and abundance. So
especially these days.
We want to talk about that a little bit tonight because, yeah, like you said, especially these days because, you know, things are a little tight in the economy right now. People are tightening their belts and spending less. And I think there's a little bit of the fear energy out there.
There's a lot of fear.
So I'd just like for you to, you know, shine your light on that topic for us and share a little bit of wisdom with us.
Well, actually, I'd love to because I'm kind of passionate about this because I have finally gotten to the point in my life where I can get hit with unexpected bills and home repairs and, you know, all the things we normally get hit with and, you know, have a moment there. But then I turn it over to God again, and somehow he always comes through. And I know clients that barely have enough, but their faith is so amazing that they're just totally taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've met other people that are just rich beyond most of our understandings and worry about it all the time. So money, the angels once said the funniest thing in a reading, and I actually did a CD with this title because it was so humorous. A lady said, how do I have faith in God? And the angel said, read your money, because on the United States currency right there it says, in God we trust.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
There's a reminder right on our currency.
And how often do we read that? We don't look at that,
right.
do we?
And they said, read it every day. You know, every time you spend something, read, in God we trust. Because if you keep reinforcing that, you're going to start realizing, wait a minute, everything we have, everything we spend, everything we give really belongs to the Creator. It's part of this oneness that we all live in. And to have faith in God's economy rather than man's economy creates a whole different set of circumstances around you. It doesn't mean you're going to have tons of money in the bank, but it does mean you're going to enter into a flow where the needs you have today will be taken care of today, and the needs you have tomorrow will be taken care of tomorrow. And to me, that is really, in a sense, that knowledge that you're taken care of is more of a true security than just having money in the bank. Because the truth is, the banks could fail, the economy could go. But when you know God is your source and supply, and that's rock solid within you, then no matter what happens in the outside world, you know you're taken care of.
And we really do need to get to that point where we really accept that God is our source.
Yeah, and I think when the economy gets down, like it is lately, you know, people's prayers become a little more impassioned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know that it's easy to pray for abundance when you're feeling abundant, but when you're feeling lack, you're like, okay, I'm serious now. You know, and you get very intentional, and you get very you muster up faith because nothing else is working. There comes a point of surrender where the only avenue you have to solve a problem is faith. And at that point, you know, you're like, okay, God, this one's up to you because I don't know what to do next. And God comes through, and that's how we develop stronger faith. Sometimes it's by being put in a pinch that we end up creating better faith because, you know, it's easy to have faith when things are good. It takes a little more work when you're a bit desperate.
Yeah, and that's a really good point. You know, that's exactly what I tell people when people ask me, well, how do you learn to listen to your intuition? And I said, well, usually it's by not listening to it.
Absolutely.
Because then you have hindsight and you're like, oh, that's what that voice was. That's
oh, yeah.
what that was. And so it's really the same thing with faith. You know, when we get in those pickles, and unfortunately, as human beings, we tend to go to God as the last resort sometimes
mm-hmm.
after we've tried and exhausted everything else. And then when we see that God really does answer our prayers, then we learn how to live in a different way.
So, absolutely.
So share with us, if you will, when people are already in that place of fear, how do you shift that?
Well, first of all, you know, you have to acknowledge we're human beings, and it's perfectly natural to have fear. And I know metaphysical people beat themselves up when they're not feeling, you know, in perfect faith. So don't beat yourself up, for starters, if you're feeling fear. Better to say, okay, God, hi, I'm in terrible fear here, but something in me knows you'll take care of me. So could you start giving me little signs that you're around here? It's okay to ask for those training wheels. It's okay to ask for God to bolster your faith and, you know, give you little signals. And people tell me, oh, I've started finding pennies, you know, or someone treated me to lunch today. Or I'll never forget a client who asked God to take care of her a little bit more, and her 5-year-old granddaughter came up to her and said, sit down, you need a neck massage, you know,
mm-hmm.
the next day. So you start getting little signs there that God is listening if you're in fear. It's okay
mm-hmm.
to ask for those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, And you know, that one day last week, I went to my mailbox, and it was just a nice surprise, because normally it's filled with bills and junk mail.
Uh-huh.
And I got three gifts in the mail.
Oh, how wonderful.
Somebody sent me their book. It was someone that I had interviewed had sent me their book.
Uh-huh.
Another friend sent me a card and a couple little gifts, and then someone else sent me a little gift. And it was like, wow, how nice.
Yeah, and again, that's... And this goes kind of into the principles of spiritual money and abundance, is number one, if you want to create more in your life, absolutely important to have gratitude for what you do have.
Yes.
And I know you're that way. I know you live a very grateful life.
Yes, I am very grateful.
Yeah, and because you're so grateful, people like to give you presents because they know you'll appreciate them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the universe is no exception. If you're grateful to God and grateful to the universe for giving you whatever you do have, then of course the universe is going to say, oh, here's a person who recognizes the gift, let's give them more. And then you also have to be willing to receive, and you were. And so if you don't have those two things down, you're not going to get more money or abundance in any form. So mm-hmm. it's very, very important that if you're feeling fear, if you're feeling lack, the angels say, do a reality check. You know, be grateful for the roof over your head and the food on the table and, you know, the fact that your body's working. And all the things that, you know, we take for granted over here in the United States, but many, many people in other countries can't take for granted. And gratitude will absolutely start to plug you into a flow of abundance. Whenever I'm feeling a little low on money or cheap, I usually take some friends who are having a worse time out to dinner.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
all of a sudden I feel, you know, abundant because I can do something for them.
Yes.
And that unplugs me because now I feel more abundant, and now the flow is moving through my life once again.
Well, and according to the laws of giving and receiving, as you give, you're opening up that flow, and you're creating more of a space for yourself to receive.
Yeah, then. But you got to be careful because you can't give as a manipulation. You know, in other words, it's like, okay, if I give, then I get.
No.
You have to give from that space of I'm giving because I feel like I have it to give.
Yes.
It's the widow's mite story from the Bible that she gave. She gave a little bit because she had it to give, and it wasn't a showy display. It was from the heart.
I was just talking about the principle, how the principle
oh, yeah.
works.
No, I know you
yeah.
know it, but there yeah. are people out there that say they tithe to get more money, and I'm like, mm-hmm. Wrong opinion. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
If you tithe because you have a grateful heart.
Right. And that's what I do when I am in that place that I need to shift my energy, is I just sit down and either think about it in prayer or meditation, or I write it down and make a list of things that I'm grateful for. And even in those times when you're really, really low
mm-hmm.
and you're feeling, you know, kind of like you got kicked in the stomach with life.
Right.
You know, I always can come up with a few things, and then and then one thing leads to another and leads to another. And the next thing I know, I've got a huge list of things that I'm grateful for.
Yeah, you open up the pipes again and you start looking around and going, wait a minute, God loves me. Look at what's in my life right now. And I find that when most people are fearful about money, all the fears are about things that might happen. I know that there are occasions when something is happening, like losing a home or, you know, not being able to do what you like for your children. And that's a little different. But most fears are hypothetical. And most of the worries and concerns that people have about money are totally hypothetical. They're not things that will ever even happen in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're concerns about a possible future.
So we shouldn't focus on what we don't want to happen.
Right, absolutely.
In addition to gratitude, we need to focus on what we do want to happen.
What we do want to happen, and also what's happening right now. You know, brings to mind a client years ago who was very, very worried about money, and the angel said, you know, my dear, we just don't see the same concerns you have, and what are you so worried about? And she was a woman who had been divorced for the first time, and she said she only had money to last for 7 years. And she was scared stiff about what was going to happen afterwards.
Oh.
And because she had never been on her own, that was a valid fear for her.
Yeah.
But they said, you know, they were so sweet. They said, my dear, that gives God so much time to work in your life.
Yeah, and most of us, if we knew we had money to have everything covered for 7 years, we'd be doing the happy dance, right?
Exactly. But that's why I say it's all relative. And the angels say that just because you don't know how you're going to make it next week doesn't mean that God doesn't know.
Exactly.
And I've had the most unbelievable surprises at the last minute when I need it. And I've heard so many stories about that when people... Stop the worry, because you know the saying, what you focus on, you get more of.
Exactly.
And, you know, if you focus on fear and worry and lack, well, that's that's just not the station you want to tune into these days. You want to tune into a focus of gratitude and abundance.
Well, and according to what Greg Braden talks about is, you know, you have to be in that state of joy.
Absolutely, because when you can look at the world around you and say, you know what, look at the beautiful sunrise. Look at the angel said, you know, the importance of a bee on a flower, they said, the eternal things. And realize we live in an abundant universe, and we just block it sometimes.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is when I sit down and think about the gratitudes or make a gratitude list, I start noticing things that I'm grateful for that I had completely forgotten about. I mean, something as simple as hearing a bird song.
Right.
Or watching a butterfly, or something that we, you know, normally in life we go around rushing so fast that we miss these things.
Yeah.
And so when you start really thinking about the things that you're grateful for, you know, you may, maybe you start with your family and the loved ones, and then you're thankful that you have a roof over your head and you have a dependable car and you have a job. And then you start noticing the subtle things that you're grateful for. And that just helps that whole vibration to expand.
Yeah, and, you know, I know that's hard to do when people are in fear or worry, because I've had people in my office say, but you know, my house is in foreclosure. What do I do? I have a lady, I think she's amazing. She's been one of my clients for some time, kind of a coaching client rather than readings. And she came years ago wondering how she was going to keep her health, because she didn't have a steady job, but she had no guidance to move yet whatsoever. And the angel said, well, you want to do this man's way or God's way? And she said, well, God's way. And they said, you're going to be required to have impeccable faith. But they said, if you have impeccable faith, they said, you're going to have miracles. And she said, okay. Well, her house was going to foreclose after being in it 4 years without a steady job. I mean, miracle after miracle. And they said, how good is your faith? She said, well, it's good. Would you believe the bank said, I'm sorry, we have to extend your foreclosure date to another 3 months. We can't do it yet because we're overloaded. And in the meantime, somebody's looking to buy her house.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's the kind of faith that it takes. I have other friends who are going to foreclose on their house. Same thing. They gave it to God. They said, God, if you want us to foreclose, foreclose us. If you have another plan, do it. We surrender. It's up to you. And they're in the process of a short sale right now. And so, I mean, those are pretty dire circumstances.
Yeah.
Losing the home you live in, and yet God comes through. I had another client years ago, an elderly lady. The bank was going to foreclose on her loan. And she told God, okay, do with me what you will. This is now your problem. I don't want to struggle with life. I don't want to manipulate. I don't want to strategize. I've done everything I know to do. It's your problem, God. The bank called her up and said, well, we've decided to forgive the second lien on your house, or second loan, rather, on your house, and we'll collect it upon death.
Holy cow.
She stayed in her house till she died.
That's fabulous.
I've never heard of that. That was insanity, and they came up with it.
And God, you know, when we do, when we turn it over to God, miracles happen.
Unbelievable things. I've seen things that, you know, by all rights shouldn't happen. I have another client who's just the sweetest lady, and I mean just absolutely a saint. You know, she's taking care of a man who's very thankless and not nice, but she's taking care of herself, and she barely makes enough. You know, I always try to give her readings for free, and she won't do it, you know. She just insists on paying me a little bit. And what happens is, money shows up in her bank account, and she goes to the bank and she said, are you sure? I don't remember doing this. And they go, no, there was a deposit. It's yours.
And she doesn't know where it's coming from?
No. God's putting money in her account. It's just, I mean, it's and it gets her by. You know, it's not to make her wealthy, but it answers her prayers.
Wow.
And I've heard of these things, and I know there's people listening that say, why doesn't that happen to me? I pray. But it's not just praying with lip service. It's having absolute faith that God loves you and will take care of you, and a willingness to surrender your fears and your worries, almost to be like a child and go, okay.
Yeah, it's not about begging for things. Mm-mm. And saying, oh, God, please, 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 please. And then once you get that, then you pray again, please, 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 please. It's about surrendering control.
Absolutely. You just nailed it right there.
Yes.
And that's hard.
And that's the tough one. That's the tough one.
Losing a home or surrendering control, I vote for surrendering control.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, one of the messages that I tell people all the time, Anne, is that, you know, and this really is one of my core messages that I tell people, is that it's really about cultivating a relationship with God. It's about learning to love God. You know, that commandment that says, love the Lord your God with your whole heart, your whole mind, and your whole soul.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's about. And when you do that, then you can surrender and you can release control and you can know that you are being taken care of unconditionally at all times.
Yeah, and sometimes you just have to keep reminding yourself, okay, God's got it under control.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying you do nothing in the world. For example, if you need money, you go out and you look for a job.
Yes, it doesn't just fall in your lap all the time.
Right, you know, you do what you know to do, but there are times when you run up against a wall and you don't know what to do next.
Yeah.
And in those instances when you don't know what to do next, that's when you wait and you turn it over to God and you surrender and you wait until something comes in your heart that you're interested in and ready to do.
I'm glad you made that point, because that's a very good point. I've known people that have gone to the extreme with it. And like for example, when I was moving out here to Arizona, I was supposed to be sharing a moving truck with someone. And I kept asking her, well, what date do you want to move? We need to get the truck. Well, God will take care of it. She wouldn't even choose a date to move. And it's like, well, we still have to do what we can do in the physical world. We have to do our part. But God helps those who help themselves.
Absolutely. And I'm not talking about just making up struggle and effort. You know, for example, this lady who's still in her house after 4 years, she did not receive guidance to get a job. It wasn't out of laziness. And when jobs that appealed arose and it was guided, she did them.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't just make up her mind all of a sudden and go, I have to do that. She said, okay, God, I'm willing. You guide me.
And that's what intuitive living is all about, Anne.
Mm-hmm.
That is what listening to the whisperings of spirit is all about.
Absolutely.
It's learning how to listen to that guidance and let it direct your life instead of you trying to always be the one steering the ship.
Right. And you know what? Control is highly overrated. The more I've let go of it, the better I feel. And again, I pray, I wait till I'm guided, and then I jump. You know, when you get guidance to do something, and people say, well, how do you know you're guided? Well, you feel like doing something. It feels right.
Yeah.
It's really that simple. The guidance comes through your own heart.
And that's when you feel joy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, believe it or not, we're up on a break here in just a second. So
Wow. We're
going to take a quick little break. And we come back, I want to continue talking about this topic. And we can differentiate a little bit about what is the difference between wealth, like financial wealth,
mm-hmm.
and abundance and prosperity. Because a lot of people always associate it with money. And there's a lot more to prosperity and abundance than just money.
I'm in absolute agreement with that.
Yes,
one.
So we can talk about that. So Anne Albers is my guest. Her website is visionsofheaven.com. And we're going to take a little break. We hope you'll stay with us, and we'll be back in just a moment. So don't go away. Okay? Thanks, Anne.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Okay, me too.
with us. This is Reverend Therese and Zarella. You're listening to Intuitive Living, and my special guest this evening is Ann Albers. And I'm just delighted to have you with me tonight, Ann. We were chatting about prosperity and abundance, and you know, I have this little book. It's one of my little favorite books. It's called How You Can Talk with God, and it's by Paramahansa Yogananda. You know, he inspires me so much with his teachings. And this is one of the things that I love to share with people. This little excerpt here, I wanted to read this. It says, "The whole of creation was designed as a test for man. By our conduct in this world, we disclose whether we want the Lord or his gifts. God will not tell you that you should desire him above all else, because he wants your love to be freely given without prompting. That is the whole secret in the game of this universe. He who created us yearns for our love. He wants us to give it spontaneously without his asking. Our love is the one thing God does not possess unless we choose to bestow it. So you see, even the Lord has something to attain, our love. And we shall never be happy until we give it. So long as we are wayward children, pygmies crawling on this ball of earth and crying for his gifts while we ignore him, the giver, we fall into many pits of misery." And that pretty much sums it up, doesn't it?
Oh, goody, yeah.
Yeah, I love, love, love that. And it really is so true. You know, we go through these stages where... and it's not wrong to want things, because living in this physical plane, we do need things, but it's our intention. It's are you worshiping that, or are you really living in the flow with the divine?
Right. It's like, you know, it's the old thing, don't worship false gods. Well, if money becomes such an object of worry that you give it your power to be happy, mm-hmm. you've made it into a god.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, your power to be happy should rest within your divine spirit and within God, not within something that's a material object. And I know everybody says money can make you happier, and my answer to that is money can give you experiences, and your reaction to those experiences makes you happier.
Yes.
And the angels will always bring it back. It's our perceptions and our reactions to life that define whether we're happy or not. And granted, it's a lot easier to be happy when we have, you know, experiences that are uplifting and fun. But mastery can occur when we can have those, even when we're not having as much fun.
You know, I've had people tell me, Anne, that have traveled to India and have seen very remote parts there where the people are very impoverished. And they said that the children in India are very different than the children here in the United States. Because even though they don't have much, then they might live in a little dirt hut, you know, with a mm-hmm. little dirt floor or something. The children there are genuinely happy. You know, they see them playing, and there's a joyfulness about them. So it doesn't have to do with what you have and how much you have. It, you know, in the Indian culture, their spirituality is really the center of their life.
Yeah.
And they're taught, they're raised that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's at the core of their being. And so...
And it's true, because, you know, you meet people that have tons of money and they're still not happy. And the angels once said, before you ask to win the lottery, they said, think about if you want all the work that goes with it to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really insightful, because, you know, everyone says, I want to win the lottery. But do you want to deal with, you know, billions of people knocking on your door and soliciting you, and all the friends and the family members that all of a sudden feel you should be their benefactors? And, you know, there's a lot that goes with it. There's responsibility that goes with money. And so the angels say that... another thing you have to think about when you're asking for wealth is right stewardship. And what they mean by that is, if you just indiscriminately give money away without praying and asking God to direct where you're giving it, then that's not necessarily right stewardship. You know, people say, I want a lot so I can give a lot away. Well, maybe God wants some of the people you'd give it to have their own lessons.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so it's really important that when people ask for wealth, that they consider what goes along with it. They consider whether or not they're willing to, you know, use right stewardship. And it's very easy to say, oh, yes, that would make me happy. But I know a lot of people that have plenty and aren't happy.
Well, and the statistics show that a lot of the people that do win the lottery end up spending it, and they're right back in the same position again.
Right, because they don't understand right stewardship.
Exactly. And they don't have the vibration, the right vibration to keep the money, to
Absolutely.
Hold on to it.
Yeah.
So it's like trying to put water in a sieve,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it just flows right through. And then they're in the same predicament because everything is about energy, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if they don't have the right energy about it, then the money's just going to flow through them. They're not going to be able to hold on to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things you mentioned about the kids in India, I thought, it, you know, ties into this whole discussion that what they have, they're good stewards of. You know, they share
mm-hmm.
with one another.
Mm-hmm.
They do what's right in their communities. You know, I saw very, very poor families in Peru the same thing, and they were so happy.
Well, and a lot of times that's the case. It's the families that have the least that have the most joy.
I read a wonderful article the other day. Where did I read this? I think it might have been in Body and Soul magazine, not positive. And it was on how the overabundance of choices we have in the Western world actually causes stress. And they said people think that they're going to be happier when they have more choices, more ability to purchase, you know, can I choose from 50 pairs of jeans rather than, you know, 10 pairs of jeans. And in reality, having too many choices can cause stress.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in some of these third world countries where they know what they can count on every day, you know, that's just a given.
Mm-hmm. Well, and one of the things
they focus on relationships.
Yeah, and that's what it's about. And one of the things that has concerned me too with, like, you know, some people or some generations is when they've been given so much at such a young age, there is a sense of entitlement and they don't develop that sense of gratitude.
Yeah, unless the parents train them that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you have, that's what really defines happiness for people. A grateful heart is always an abundant heart. You know, I've known rich people who are extremely grateful. And I would call them not only wealthy, but abundant.
Yeah, so let's talk about the difference between wealth and abundance.
Yeah, wealth is just having money. You know, you have a lot in the bank, you whatever a lot is for you. Abundance, however, is defined by the dictionary as having adequate quantity or supply, more than enough. In other words, a plentiful amount, but not just money. The angels say when you're abundant, you recognize the love that's there for you in the universe. You feel like you have something of value inside your own spirit to contribute to the world. You know, you feel like I have a full cup. You know, I feel God's love so I can spill it over into the world. And that goes way beyond money. It will include it, but it's not limited to it.
And, you know, one of the things that some of the listeners can do is to just kind of do a little experiment with yourself and, you know, try to manifest little things, like maybe even just somebody buying you a cup of coffee, or, you know, just start out with little things like that, or just be open and grateful and ask the universe to send you abundance, and they'll begin to show up in little ways like that. Because I know in my life, I've had so many abundant things happen to me that I never in the world would have dreamed of. And these weren't things that I set out to accomplish or goals that I tried to achieve or things that I even prayed for or wanted. But when you just are in that place of gratitude, things are taken care of for you
mm-hmm.
and things are given to you. And, you know, like I, you know, I always seem to get like free tickets and free books and things like that. And then, you know, a couple of years ago, I manifested that fabulous interfaith trip to Turkey.
That was amazing.
I was invited to go on this trip to Turkey, which was fabulous. And just wonderful things like that. And it's amazing the things that will begin to show up in your life. And so abundance is being prosperous in all areas of your life. Relationships,
mm-hmm.
having healthy, fulfilling relationships with people. It's being happy in your job. It's feeling that sense of fulfillment and satisfaction in life and living a purposeful life. And what are some of the other ways that you would think of being abundant?
Well, the angels say that the bottom line with abundance is you know that you have the abundance of God's love
mm-hmm.
available to you, and therefore you have that abundance to give others.
Mm-hmm.
And that can manifest in all the different ways you were talking about. It can manifest with a kind word to somebody else. It can manifest with the ability to, you know, share material goods. It can manifest in gratitude and joy. So many ways. Creativity. It's really looking inside of yourself and saying, I am an abundant being, and my abundance goes way deeper than money, and money is just a reflection of the abundance I feel in my own heart.
Mm-hmm. So,
and again, that doesn't mean the more you love yourself, the bigger your bank account, but it means the more you'll be in divine flow.
So in addition to being grateful, what are other things that people can do to live a more abundant, prosperous life?
Well, in terms of financial abundance there?
Anything.
Well, okay. You have to first and foremost believe that you're worthy of it. Because so many people have issues around money. They say they want more, but then they feel guilty asking for more. And we have to get rid of any guilty feelings or unworthy feelings, because otherwise what happens is God says, here you go, here's a gift, and you go, no, 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 that can't be for me. And that can actually block you from seeing the gifts life has to give you. I've had people in my office, and the angels will spend a reading telling them, okay, it's time you learn to receive a little bit. Okay, yeah, yeah, I want to receive, I want to receive. And at the very end of the reading, the angels will say, give them a discount or give them this reading for free. And I'll say, okay, because I just listen. You know, if they tell me to do it, I do it. And the person will go, no, I can't do that. You know, after a whole hour of telling me they're ready to receive.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done that to other people too, so I'm not criticizing. But if you want to have more abundance in your life, you have to be ready to receive it when it's gifted to you.
Mm-hmm. And we have to get to those core issues of what it is that's blocking us.
Yeah, or even just make a decision. Sometimes the angels say, just get over it. They'll say, tell someone, I want you to assume you're worthy for a week. You know, for just a week, pretend you had no childhood, pretend you had no ex-husband, pretend you had no one putting you down. For just a week, assume you're worthy. Pretend, you know, fake it till you make it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of funny, because if people can find that space, it's like building muscle. They can actually choose, make a decision over and over. Okay, today I'm going to decide I'm worthy. And you know, so I believe in going at it from both ends, is digging out the roots of the things that make you feel unworthy and focusing more and more on worthiness.
That's a very good point, because you don't want to just focus on the negative.
Right. You know, you may say, okay, I had a horrid childhood, and, you know, nobody made me feel worthy of XYZ. And that may be true, and you may dig that out or work with a therapist or a counselor, and that's important work. Also, at the same time, try to fake it till you make it. Try to go through life and say, okay, I'm going to give it a shot. And you can't just say it. You have to say, I am really going to pretend for one day.
And you have to mean it.
And I'm going to mean it, that I am worthy. And every time any thought to the contrary comes up, I'm going to send it out of my brain, and I'm going to go, no, I'm worthy.
And that's really testimony to living in the now moment.
Yeah, it is.
It is. You know, and other things that I've heard people do, like keep a $100 bill in your wallet at all times.
Yeah, my favorite story along those lines is the actor Jim Carrey wrote himself a check years before he became famous, 10 years before he became famous, for $10 million for acting services rendered. And he carried that check in his wallet for 10 years until he, you know, hit it big.
Excellent.
But, you know, he kept seeing that, and it was a reminder to him.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the angels, this is really funny, I'm sitting here at my desk, and the angels told me during a time when I had big bills to put a penny jar on my desk, and every day put a penny on it, and thank God for my abundance. And something that simple, you know, you become a little kid again, and you're like, oh, I got a penny. You know, my jar is getting more full. And this energy of feeling like you're in the flow starts creeping in. You know, there are many tricks you can play with yourself to make yourself feel more abundant.
Yeah, and those things begin to add up over time, too.
Yeah, you know, I once heard a woman talking about this, and she had a very good point. She said, we don't see our money accumulating anymore. You know, in the past, you'd have the piggy bank or something.
That's very true.
And so her advice was to put a dollar in a jar every week and watch it grow. And as you watch it grow, you're going to feel more abundant. And again, these are ways we trick our minds. It's not the jar that has the power or the dollar bills. That's just paper and glass. But we trick ourselves into feeling more abundant. And whatever works to make you feel more abundant, you know, to me it's food. You know, if I'm able to cook for friends, I feel wealthy. And I could go to the dollar store and buy my vegetables, but that ability to share food at table with friends, to me, makes me feel incredibly abundant.
Yes. You know, one of the things I was going to mention that helped me is Doreen Virtue wrote the book, I'm sure you're acquainted with it, Healing with the Angels.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a section in there where she talks about, you know, in past lives, we may have taken vows of poverty.
Oh, yes.
And she says she has this little quote in there, and I kind of did it in like a little ceremony for myself, and it says, I sever all vows of poverty that I may have made in any lifetime, and I release this now in all directions for all time.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Or something like that, yeah.
Oh, true.
Because sometimes, you know, we're carrying things like that in our subconscious that we're not even aware of.
Yeah, or you may have, even in this lifetime, you may have heard over and over when you were little, you know, money's the root of all evil.
It's virtuous to be poor or something.
Yeah.
Yes.
In fact, I read once that the quote, blessed are the poor in spirit in the Bible, actually meant originally, and I haven't confirmed this, but it sounded interesting, blessed are the humble in spirit.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, there's a lot of examples that have been passed down about how holy it is to be poor and how, you know, it's you know, hard to be spiritual if you're rich. And the truth is, money doesn't have that kind of power over us either way. It's our decisions and our perceptions of it that create whether or not we're living a spiritual life.
But some people still see that. Some people still have a hard time with that. Like, a lot of people think that if you're doing spiritual work, you should be doing it for free and shouldn't be paid for it.
No, I
hear
that
all
the time.
There's still a little bit of that stigma. And then there's a little bit the opposite end of, you know, like people that are doing, like the spiritual authors and stuff that are living in million-dollar homes and, you know, have all this abundance and luxury in their lives, and people think that that's unholy. So comment on that.
I have two comments. One comes from my angels, and they said, Anne, your job is no more or less holy or spiritual than a plumber who is following his calling.
Yes.
And so what their point was is, if anyone's following their true calling, they're doing the work God intended for them, and they have to be paid for it. We're, you know, just in a society where that's our exchange. The other quote comes from a wonderful healer I know, and he said, that's right, I shouldn't have to be paid. I should get donations for everything I do.
Say that again?
He said, that's right. I shouldn't have to charge, he said. I should just get donations for everything I do.
Yeah.
And his point was, in many cultures, the holy people or the spiritual counselors are brought food and taken care of and invited into people's homes, and so they don't have to charge. But in our white society, that's just not how it works.
Well, you know, and when I first started doing this work, I tried doing it by love donation, and it just didn't work out.
No, it's not the culture we're in. Our culture doesn't promote, you know, necessarily appreciating those things. And the angels really say, if you say that you don't deserve to be paid because you're doing spiritual work, they said you are putting yourself on a pedestal above other types of work.
Yeah.
As holier or better than. And they said, that's not true. They think, you know, try going without a toilet working for one day, and you'll value your plumber just as much as your spiritual advisor.
Yeah, I've always said the trash man is just as important as
the
president of the United States or anybody else, you know, because
we all have our place in the divine puzzle, and since money is our form of exchange and gratitude, that's what we use.
Yeah.
And I also tell people that when you begrudge someone their abundance, you know, for example, you mentioned spiritual authors living in big homes, or for that matter, it could be a contractor who's doing well, or a plumber. Whenever we begrudge people their abundance, we don't exactly increase our own.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we really believed in the principles of abundance in this universe, we would celebrate the fact that others are tuned into it, because it would inspire us and show us that it's possible. But if we feel, oh, it's not right for any individual to not have that, and we start judging them, well, what are we judging? We're judging whether or not it's okay to have that much. You know, would you really feel good having that much if you're judging someone else?
What about bankruptcy and debt?
Well, the angels have interesting perspectives on bankruptcy. I mean, there are cases when it's simple irresponsibility, and then there are cases when they say the soul wanted to create a fresh start, and so be it.
Mm-hmm.
So that is very individual. And as far as debt goes, same thing, because people get in debt for such a variety of reasons. You know, maybe they're learning lessons. Maybe their debt serves their spirit.
But are they blocked until they get that debt cleared?
Again, don't give your power to the debt or anything else. It's all in their mind. It's all in our minds. And what I mean when I say that is, whether you're blocked or not depends on whether or not you can look at the debt as something positive in terms of your spiritual evolution, or whether you beat yourself up for it. If you're beating yourself up for it, you're blocked. For example, I had a woman come to me, and she was in a lot of debt. She had bought a house, and she had gotten an education. And the angels say, so let's reframe this. You invested in yourself. And as soon as they said it that way, she went, oh my gosh, you're right. I invested in myself, and my debt is really just an investment.
Yes.
And it's had huge returns in my life. And now I can be grateful for the fact that I chose to do this, and it was a wise decision for my spirit. And money started flowing into her life again as a result of her mind change.
Yes.
But if you beat yourself up, you know, that's pointless. That's not abundance. Abundance is not making yourself wrong and shaming yourself. Abundance is loving yourself. You know, even if you've made mistakes, you know, suppose you're in debt because you made unwise choices. Well, again, if you want to get out of that debt, stop beating yourself up, you know, immediately, and make a decision that you're going to say, okay, what did I learn from this? Okay, then, my soul learned something. Then it was of value.
And that's what we always have to do, is extract the lesson from it.
Exactly.
And see the highest good from it, and then release and surrender and move on?
Well, for example, early on in my engineering career, I was married at the time, and my husband and I got involved with an investment with people we trusted, and the market changed that year, and I lost nearly a year's worth of my salary at the time.
Wow.
And there were two options right there: to beat myself up and get mad at everyone else or get mad at God in the market, or to go, I just paid for a college education in financial discernment.
Mm-hmm.
And I really chose to go, I paid for a college education in financial discernment. And I believe that lesson in discernment has served me well over the years and kept me out of trouble, you know, when I was in a space where I couldn't afford that kind of mistake.
That's a very positive attitude.
What are you going to do? I mean, you're either going to, you know, moan about it the rest of your life, which isn't productive and doesn't move you forward and blocks your money, or you're going to get up and walk again.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, I have another story that really brings this point home. I had an ex-boyfriend that I, you know, gave money to, and he promised to pay me back, and long story short, didn't. So months later, I let this go, I thought, and I told the angels, I said, how do I create more abundance in my life? And they said, forgive your ex-boyfriend. And I said, no, I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about money, you know. How do I create more money? And I'm thinking they're going to tell me to teach classes or write books. And they said, forgive your ex-boyfriend. And I got a little uppity, and I'm like, I don't want to talk about him now.
Uh-huh.
And they said, you have made him your God. You have given him power over your financial well-being because he ran off with some of your money. You either make a choice to let it go now and give the power back to God, or you're going to forever make him your God and be mad at him and think you're not abundant.
That's a very profound lesson.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. So I called him the next day, and I said, okay, I'm releasing your debt. You know, you can explain it to God at the end of your life if you have a conscience, and we're done. And I got a check in the mail. I think I was the only woman he ever paid back.
Wow.
And it doesn't always happen that way, but I really released it. I went, it's not...
And you didn't do it for that reason.
No, I released it because the angels basically called me on my own issues.
Yes. Yes.
And those are hard things to own. You know, we want to blame others. We're human. You know, it's a natural tendency, but there are just times when the angels say, what are you going to make your God? Are you going to make God your God? Or are you going to make, you know, the bank that didn't work out, or the job, or the investment that didn't work, or the person that took your money? You know, those are false gods. Don't worship them.
Yes. Well, you have a CD about this called Read Your Money.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have another CD called Manifesting in the Divine Flow. So those are available on your website as well as your books.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, we're almost out of time.
Oh, my goodness. I always do this.
I love talking to you.
It flies.
This was very enlightening tonight. And hopefully this will help people shift their energy when it comes to abundance, prosperity, and money. If they need more advice, I'm sure that they can make an appointment with you. You do appointments by phone and in person.
Yeah, I cannot take new clients now. I'm so sorry. I'm too far behind.
Sorry. Well, you have people that you recommend, and
mm-hmm.
I do appointments. So,
Therese is very good.
I would love to help you, and you can write to me at intuitiveliving@quest.net. And that is abundance in your life, that you have such a clientele that you are just booked 6 months in advance.
Well, you know what's funny? The abundance part to me feels. I feel good being able to refer other psychics that are extremely good, but maybe not as out in public.
Yes.
And so it's kind of funny. My own definition of abundance is having enough to share.
That's wonderful. The cup that overflows.
Mm-hmm.
Overflows. Well, the website is visionsofheaven.com, and it's always a pleasure and an honor and a delight to speak with you. I love you so much, and I'm just so grateful for you in my life, and thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, we're going to close tonight with my favorite namaste prayer. It's, I come in peace, I come in wisdom, I come in divine love. I see your beauty, I feel your pain. All good comes from a higher source. I salute that source in you. Let us work together for peace. Namaste. Mm-hmm. So have a joyful, love-filled, prosperous, and abundant week, and focus on the good things in life. And we will be back with you next week, and we hope that you will join us. So have a wonderful, joyful, love-filled week. And thank you, Anne.
Thank you, Therese.
Blessings to you.
You too.
And I'm wishing you love, light, and many blessings.
Oh, thank you.
Namaste.